Good morning, church. This is Jaco here, one of the pastors at Shofar Somerset West. This is certainly difficult times for all of us. We love it when we come together at the Whip, our usual time on Sunday mornings. But obviously things are changing, things are different with the coronavirus that's spreading through our country. But God is with us. And we have great trust in God. He's an almighty God. And it's my privilege to share a message with you this morning, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, at home, maybe with a few friends, responsible gatherings. But let's, before we continue, just a few announcements. We have a few announcements when we're together at our church service. So firstly, if you want to be connected in this time, our Facebook page is a good place to join. Shofar Helderberg is the link where you can join to be part of all the updates. You will get everything. Obviously, we also send out mails. There's a weekly emailer. You can just send out a mail to helderberg@shofaronline.org. And else, there's a WhatsApp group that we've created. I know some of you don't like WhatsApp groups that much. You don't want to be spam. Especially in this time, there's just information coming from everywhere, but it's purely an admin group. Anyone can join it. You can join, you can exit. We will just post updates on there. So this morning, we trust that you had a good time of fellowship already, worshiping together. And now I just want to share a short message with us. Obviously, we are not going to have children's church. The children are there with us. Maybe children, you can just give me a thumbs up. You good? Okay. See those hands? Thumbs down. Maybe some of you are not so lekker. They say now that the schools are closed, the parents might come up with a vaccine before the scientists. So I know it can be tough at home. Everyone is running around. Maybe you are at home as well, not at work. But yeah, let's just pray before we continue. Father God, I just thank you for this time. Thank you that we can just come together, Lord, like this. And Lord, we know you are the Almighty God. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you, God. We thank you for this morning that we can gather in your name. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can always come back to your word and learn from your word and allow it to encourage us and to speak to us, because it's alive. Lord, I pray for each one that's listening. I pray that you will touch each one right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to me through your word, and you're speaking to each one of us. And we pray for our time together. I pray that you will bless it. Pray that you will reveal new things to us. Show us new things, Lord, about you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come and comfort us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, usually at our church services, we have a time that we will connect with one another. We will ask each other some questions. My question this morning is basically, how was your week? What is going on in your life? What happened? What happened during this last week? What's happening at work? What's happening at home? What are your children saying? Everything is chaos. We know the coronavirus started in China. It's going throughout the world. There's a lot of messages every day. There's just more and more and more messages coming our way. And maybe you're not sure this morning what is going on. There's a lot of fear in your heart. You're not sure what tomorrow is going to look like. You're not sure about the messages going to come out from the government. We respect our government. We love them. We are thankful for what they are putting in place. And we really trust God that this coronavirus outbreak, that it will stop. But right now, you might be sitting with fear, doubt, anxiety. a lot of these things, even the children. I think some of you, you just want to play. You just want to go to your friends. You maybe you don't understand why can't we just go where we used to go. I was reminding of the guys in the Bible, Jesus and his disciples, and just thinking, maybe we were able to ask one of the disciples to tell us how was his week. Maybe we took Matthew the tax collector. Some of you might know him or remember him from the Word. And just asking Matthew, maybe you want to share some testimonies, you want to share some things that happened the last week. And he would have said, right, I'm willing to share. He will stand up in a small group. Sometimes Jesus met in big groups, and sometimes he met in very small groups. But Jesus loved groups, and he loved it when we came together. He loved people. But anyway, so Matthew, the tax collector, is, imagine it, he's standing up, he's standing here with us, and we're asking Matthew, how was your day? So initially some of us might think, hey, I don't like Matthew. He's a tax collector, he cheated me. He took my money. Why is he now with Jesus standing up? This is not fair. Sometimes we think things are fair, it's not fair. In my house I try to stop those words. It's unfair, Daddy, it's unfair. I know some of the kids will be smiling, maybe the parents right now, you understand. But anyway, Matthew is standing up, he's sharing, and he said, we were walking along the way, coming from Jericho the other day, a big group of people, Jesus is walking. So two guys sitting next to the road, two blind guys, and they're shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They cry out to Jesus. And while we were walking and there's all this crowd of people, Jesus actually stopped everything. He just stopped and he came to them, he looked at them, and he said his words, what can I do for you? And they said they want to be healed. And Jesus reached out to them, he touched them, and he healed them. And yeah, it was just amazing. We were walking along the road, we came close to Jerusalem. Now Jesus told us, he said, we're going to go into Jerusalem. He chose two of us, his disciples, the people that were there with him. He said, go to someone in town. He told us who to go to. And he said, just ask the man if we can use his donkey. It's crazy, crazy stuff. So we went there and they got the donkey. Jesus got on the donkey. We walked into Jerusalem. The people went mad. They threw branches on the ground. They went crazy. And yeah, the week just continued from there. We ate together. I remember this woman that came and she brought this flask of perfume. And Jesus poured it over Jesus' head. And then she said, she wants to anoint him. It's all this stuff that happened. And Matthew, he continued and he's telling and he said, Jesus said, let's go. Well, before he told us to go from there, he said, she's actually anointing my body. And man, we didn't understand that. We went from there, we ate together, or we went to a room to eat together that evening. And as we came there, we realized there's no one to wash our feet. And Jesus, he took the cloth and the water and he washed our feet. So these are the things that maybe Matthew would have shared. Remember, he's standing up, he's just telling us about his week. And it's a lot of stuff that's happening. But this is still the same Jesus today. A Jesus that as we share our week, as we share what's been happening in our weeks, as we share our hearts, it's a Jesus that's reaching out to each one of us. And he wants to hear your cry this morning. He wants you to share your deepest secrets, to share your heart, to share your fears, to share your anxieties, to give him everything. And he will stop. He will stop everything for you. That's the amazing thing. and those words is still echoing in today from Jesus. Like, what can I do for you? Let's just read that piece in the Bible where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It's here in John 13, from verse 12, the New Living Translation. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." This is the example that Jesus set for us, of washing each other's feet, and but also how he's reaching out to people, how he's talking to his disciples. But it continued from there. If we were there with Matthew, remember we asked Matthew, "How's your week?" And he's been sharing a few things, and some of it is really crazy, abnormal stuff, how Jesus touched people and healed them. So maybe Matthew would have shared us the next piece. He said Jesus told us he's going to die. And that was a game changer for the disciples. That was something they couldn't understand at the time. And let's continue in John 14, verse 1. After Jesus shared that he's going to die and things that's going to happen, he said to them these words. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me, trust in God, and trust also in me." I'll read it again. Verse 14, verse 1. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going." And then Thomas. Don't we love it that there's a Thomas in the Bible? Someone that's keeping it real. He doubted, he said no. He said, verse 5, "No, we don't know, Lord." Thomas said, "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me." No one come to the Father except through me. But that verse 1, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And that's a scripture I believe that Jesus want to give each one of us in this time. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of messengers coming our way. It's a lot of stuff that we read. I'm sure some of you are just tired. You're trying to manage everything at home. You're trying to manage things at work. Now you're working at home. I imagine some of you struggle to switch off. You're lying awake at night saying, "What's going to happen tomorrow? What if I was exposed to someone that's sick and I must be quarantined, and my business is, people are not coming anymore? How is all of this going to come together? What is going to happen tomorrow?" I believe Jesus is telling us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Meditate on these words. Guys, I really want to encourage us in this time that we need to watch what we meditate on. Every one of us, we meditate on things. We think about stuff, we allow thoughts to come in, and we ponder those things, we try to figure it out. But allow God to come and to minister to your heart. Obviously, there's a lot of emotions. Obviously, there's a lot of real needs, fears, anxieties. And that's why this morning I got my friend Daniel with me, and I quickly also want to ask him a few things, just how he handled a very difficult time in his life. Welcome. Friend Daniel here with me. Daniel, just tell us quickly what happened in your life.
Yeah, I think in the context of Jaco's sermon, when I was 17, I was diagnosed with cancer on my Thymus gland, about a tumor of 15 by 7 centimeters. And then again,
15 by 7, quite big.
Yeah, it's about a size of a
rugby ball.
No, a teacup. Okay. That was literally around my airway. And yeah, then I got 6 chemos during my matric year. And then 6 months later, just after finishing all my chemos and everything, and feeling really healthy, going back to the gym and feeling everything is fine again, almost going to university. During the 31st of December, they found it that's really bad headaches, and they've did an MRI scan and they found a tumor of 5 centimeters in my brain. And you know, that was quite a frightening experience for my parents and for me. Yeah. So yeah.
Wow. And yeah. So that's obviously massive.
Yeah.
This is life threatening.
Yeah.
So what were the emotions going through you and your parents at the time?
Yeah, so just to think like that, the first time was quite hectic, but I didn't have like the, actually I had a grasp of what cancer really is, in a sense, like I was still really like young and immature actually, didn't actually know how bad cancer can really be, so I was, didn't take it up so earnestly as I think I should have, but God also gave me the grace for that, and yeah, losing all my hair was quite frightening and everything. But you're the second time when you tell them you have brain cancer, this is quite a big ball game, because every time from a young age you hear like all the stories of people with brain cancer, and you think like, sure, it's actually really hectic. And you know, in that time, I remember that my dad always says, I already had my turn. And you know, I remember just taking my mom and dad, and we just started to actually just cry. And now it's gonna be a really hard. It's gonna be a really hard. Part of it was, yeah.
And I remember you said something about a hand signal. What is the thing?
Yeah, so when I realized when I'm going to get this cancer, when I got this brain cancer, I realized if I don't trust in God now, I'm not going to make it, because the doctors only told my dad, like, he's the only youth is on his side. So then immediately, like, with every procedure I got in, everything they did, I had like lumbar punctures and I had like a lot of stuff. They grinded my hip bone for some of my bone marrow fluid and stuff. So it was quite hectic, but everything I might just laid like this, and I was just like V for Wonderwerk or M for Miracle, and just trusting in God and knowing that he's the only one that can actually save me now. Doctors can do their part, and God gave them a lot of, I think, skills to help people. But I knew if God hasn't come through now for me, I'm not going to make it, John.
And in the end, just tell us shortly, how did it finish?
Yeah, so I actually like went from bad to really worse in like 3 weeks. I lost like, went from 85 kilograms to 69 kilograms, was really sick. My face was really swollen from all the cortisol they gave me, and like I had like, my dad says at one stage when I was really bad, like they just took this big packets of cortisol and just pushed it in like to that stage, put in like a little port for me where all the chemo and all my medicine went through. Because the chemo that I got the second time was so really, really bad, like it has to go through your really strong, but because it has to go to your brainstem, I remember like just my feet being like burning after like a session, over a few days. And I was really sick. Yes. Like I remember whenever I could just lay down, if I stood up or sit, like I had a really bad headache and really felt sick. I remember when they tried to walk me, I just fell down on the floor and I said, why do I have to go through this? And I just remember God always just being there in his way.
Yeah, you felt his presence.
Yeah, yeah, just through the storm, he was always there. A lot of people prayed for me in my school. My dad had like pastor friends, and my dad especially was praying. And it came to a stage then on 26th of November 2013, I told my dad, okay, listen, yeah, the chemo's not having the effect. He's not going to make it.
The doctors told
and my mom and dad, I didn't even knew they told them. I was like literally like out of it actually, and then they said like, his heart can go stop any time now, and he's, it's really bad. So they must prepare themselves for the worst. And then my dad asked, what else can you do for my son? Like he said, they can only do radiation, but if they're going to do that, the chances are really, really good I'm going to be blind and mute, because the tumor is situated in a place in my brain that is really sensitive for all my speaking and everything comes from. And yeah, just to make a long story short, I went in for my put in the other hospital, and I got my radiation, the first one. And that morning at 2 a.m., my dad went back to my brother and sister, three hours away, and he said was praying a lot, and he was just fasting that for 6 days. And that evening at 2 a.m., he couldn't sleep and was crying so much. God gave him a scripture in Psalm 91, verse 15 and 16, which says, "For he has called upon my name, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and with a long life, wow, I will sort of satisfy him, and I will show him my glory." And that morning at 2, I woke up, and for the first time in a week, same time, like, I just got that scripture. I had everything in my mom's handbag. Next morning, I had my breakfast. Second day, they pushed me in on a wheelchair. Third day, I walked in from a radiation, and 22 radiations later, I can still see and talk. And 3 months later, I did like another MRI scan to see what happened inside of me, and then my brain. And then I sent the tumor went from 5 centimeters to 5 millimeters scar tissue. And yeah, and 3 months later, I did another one. My brain was splitted, and medically spoken, if that happens, it never comes back to normal. And my brain completely came back to normal, and God just healed me completely. Sure. And He was so faithful. And even through that whole storm, a lot of time my parents couldn't see Him, even I couldn't see Him. I was just trusting Him, and God healed me completely. And all the doctors in our case, like I said, cured in exclamation marks. And I'm only drinking a vitamin pill still to this day, because God is so faithful, and you know, He healed me completely.
Amen.
Yeah.
Guys, we are in the boat with Jesus. Right in this time, this boat is in a storm. There's a storm, there's different things going on, different messages coming our way. But in this time, Jesus is with us, and he's helping us to get through this. Now, I just want to encourage each one of you, whatever you are feeling right now, whatever those questions that you are struggling through, that you are meditating upon, let's shift our emotions, our thoughts, let's shift it to the Word of God. Let that word that we read in John 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also," the word said me, but in Jesus. And let that be the word that we hold on to in this time. Now I want to encourage you, as we're coming together like this, obviously this is not a big group. There's a lot of people around us that's living in fear. Some of the things they're experiencing is the same as us. But we are at a place where we can trust God to give us peace. We can talk to the Lord and bring Him all our emotions, all our fears. We can pray through these things. And like Philippians 4 at the end, those verses just talk about through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, bring all your requests, make it known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rule and reign in your heart. And in times like this, what I do, I bring all my fears, I bring all my anxiety, everything, I bring it to God, and I start praying through it. And I start praying, and I keep on talking to God about the stuff that's happening until the peace of God comes into my heart and changes something. And that's what God will do. He's the Almighty God. He's living. He's alive. He's powerful. And what He's done for Daniel, He can do for us in this time. Remember, He's not a respecter of persons. You will have your own testimony. You can trust God for your own testimony. And please share those prayer requests. Let us know. You can email us at elderberg@chauffeuronline.org. Or you can phone any of our church elders, our leaders, contact us. Make use of this time to reach out. It's so easy to get stuck where we are and just to think about ourselves. But that's why I also mentioned Jesus washing the feet of his disciples and saying, what you've seen me do, what you've seen me do now, go and do the same. Follow my example. Let's follow the example of Jesus. I will leave you with Psalm 42 verse 5. It came up, it just, so many sermons that we had in church that said, hope in God. Psalm 42 verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. And then this time, that's the best sermon you can preach to yourself. Three words, hope in God. I really trust that this morning that this would have edified you, this word would have blessed you. And I'm going to pray for us, and then you can just discuss a few questions. There we are. Ask one another. How do you feel? What's happening in your life right now? What are those fears? How can we pray for one another? And lastly, what can we do to follow Jesus, to wash the feet of those around us? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that we can come together like this, Lord. Wherever we are, in rooms, in different places, but we know, Lord, you are with us. And Father, we worship you. We acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of this world. And Lord, I know that we don't understand everything that's happening right now, but thank you that you are in control. We pray for your perspective in this time. I pray, Lord, that you will touch each one, every family, every child, wherever they are, that you will touch them, that they will know, Lord, that you are there with them, that they will experience your presence right there in their life. When they spend time with the Bible, when they read, when they pray, they will just know that you are there. That each one will have their own testimony. That each one will remember what you've done for them already and hold on to those testimonies. Hold on to those words that they have received, like Daniel also, held on to a word. Help us, God, to hold on to your words, to the Bible, to your promises. And help us, Lord, in this time to do what that verse says is, what the verse says is, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. We worship you, God. Amen. Thank you.